Jeffrey Davis Jr. Opening prayer would be led by myself. And our speaker this morning, you might have guessed from me being up here, but that's Brother Gilbert Baldwin. Sermon is titled, Humility Will Take You Higher. Scripture for this morning's sermon to be taken from the New Testament book of James, chapter 2, in verses 1 through 3. And scripture reader this morning is our brother Greg Shriver. Presiding at the Lord's table will be Brother Wiley Edwards and Jerry White. And then in closing, our brother Charles Hopkins Jr. will lead us in our closing prayer. I think 392, Brother Dave's first song. Okay, 392. That'd be our first hymn this morning. And before we sing that hymn, would you bow with me for prayer? Our Father God in heaven, our Lord, we so humbly bow before your mighty throne, Father. We're so thankful, Lord, that you've blessed each and every one of us here, Father, with another day of life, another opportunity to have the health and strength and wherewithal on the first day of the week, Lord, as commanded, that we can openly assemble together, Father, and that we can worship thee in spirit and in truth here this morning, Father. Lord, we pray that all of our acts of worship would be conducted decent and in order, and that all would be most pleasing and acceptable unto thee this morning, Father. And we ask these and all things, Lord, in the name of thy Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.
Good morning, church. Good morning. We will sing all three verses of this hymn, 392. 392. And let us sing.
If the skies above you are gray, you are feeling so blue. If your cares and burdens seem great all the whole day through, there's a silver light that shines in the heavenly land. Look by faith and see it, my friend, trust in his promises grand. Sing and be happy, press on to the goal. Trust him who leads you, he will keep your soul. Let all be faithful, look to him and pray. Lift your voice and praise him in song. Sing and be happy today. Often we are troubled and dry, sit with sorrow and pain. There are others living in sin, blessed with earthly gain. Take your courage, we can last there. What tomorrow may bring. When the dark clouds fade so away, then your heart truly can sing. Sing and be happy, press on to the goal. Trust him who leads you, he will keep your soul. Let all be faithful, look to him and pray. Lift your voice and praise him in song. Sing and be happy today. Oft we fail to see the rainbow, oft in heaven's fair sight. When it seems the fortunes of earth crowned as a fight, there are things we know that are worth more than silver and gold. If we hope and trust in each day, we shall have pleasures untold. So sing and be happy, press on to the goal. Trust him who leads you, he will keep your soul. Let all be faithful, look to him and pray.
excuse me, for our opening prayer this morning, if you would please. Turn your hymn book to hymn number 528, we will sing all three verses of this hymn, 528. And let us sing.
Living below in this old sinful world, seeking a comfort for my soul, striving alone to face temptation sore. Now tell me now, where could I go but to the Lord? So tell me now, where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul, needing a breath to save me in the end. Now tell me now, where could I go but to the Lord? Now neighbor the kind, I love them everyone. And we get along in sweet accord. But when my soul needs manna from above, I tell you now, where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul, and needing a friend to save me in the end. Now tell me now, where could I go but to the Lord? Now life here is grand, with friends I love so dear. Comfort I get from God's own word. Yet when I face the chilling hand of death, now tell me now, where could I go but to the Lord? Now tell me now, where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul, and needing a prayer to save me in the end. Now tell me now, where could I go but to the Lord? Now where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul, and needing a friend to save me in the end. Now tell me now, where could I go but to the Lord?
Would you bow with me in prayer? Our almighty, our all-powerful, our all-knowing Father God in heaven, our Lord, we bow before thy mighty throne, Father, ever mindful and thankful, Lord, for just another day that you blessed us with, Father, another day upon the first day of the week that we can assemble together as one body in Christ, Father. We can sing songs of praise unto Thee, Father. We can partake of communion, Lord. We could study another portion of Thy Word, Father. Working to get stronger, Father, in the faith. All of us looking to get more knowledgeable in Thy Word, Father. And we're so thankful for our congregation here at Cross Street, Father, the body of Christ here that we have. We pray, Father, that You continue to bless our elders, Father, our deacon, our teachers, Father, all those that help to do the work of the church here, Father. We know it takes all the members to have a fully functioning body, Father. We just ask that You continue to bless our congregation here. And Lord, we have a number at this time that's sick, Father. We have so many folks, Father. Brother Wayne Newton and James Gatewood, Hubel Freeman, Sister Brown, Jeff Slag. We have a lot of folks that are in need of healing, Father. We just pray that You continue to wrap Your arms around each and every one of those, Father. And I know I've only hit some of the names, Father, but we know that You know that they all stand in need, Father, and we just pray that You'd continue to comfort them, Father, that You bless those that render care unto them, and that if it be Your will, Lord, You could grant unto them the things that they need to be restored to their normal health and strength, Father. Our Lord, we're so thankful for all the many, many blessings of life that You've given each and every one of us, Father. We know that they're too numerous to count, Father. They're like grains of sand along the shore, but we recognize, Father, that all these things flow from Thee, Father. They're not things that we accomplish from our own perceived greatness or righteousness, Father, but they're indeed blessings that flow from Thee. And Lord, we're most thankful, Father, for the blessing of Thy Son, Father, that perfect Lamb of God, whose sacrifice and bloodshed, Father, ultimately cleansed us from all unrighteousness, Father, for those that obey Thy gospel. And Lord, we pray that as we live our lives, Father, that we'd live our lives for Christ and that we'd let our actions and words and deeds be a reflection of our thankfulness for Christ as we strive to live our Christian lives, Father. And Lord, as we continue in our worship this morning, Father, we pray that if there be anyone in attendance that needs to respond to Thy gospel in any way, Father, that they may have the courage to do so while Your grace and mercy is extended just a little while longer. And we pray, Father, that You continue to watch over each and every one of us, Father, that You continue to guide us, continue to lead us, continue to bless us, Father, that You continue to forgive us of those sins and shortcomings, Father, as we repent from them and turn away and do our best to not repeat them, Father. And Lord, we just ask that You continue to bless us throughout our further worship, Father, that all the things that we do this morning, Father, be well-pleasing and acceptable unto Thee, Lord. And we ask these things, Father, in the name of Thy Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.
Would you prepare our minds for the taking of the Lord's Supper this morning, if you would, please? Can you hymn number 318? That's 318. 318. Sing all three verses of this hymn. 318. Another song.
I love the Lord, for He died my soul to save. on Calvary, his dear life he freely gave. From grounds above, Jesus freely came to die, that I might live something with him on high. I love the Lord, he has been so good to me. He gave his life for a sin to set me free. No greater love on his could ever be. I love the Lord because he first loved me. I love the Lord for he saved us from sin. He gave them life to be whole and free again. To live on high, with him never for to die. Oh, great is his name, we'll see him by and by. I love the Lord, he has been so good. He gave his life from sin to set me free. No greater love from him could ever be. I love the Lord because he first. I love the Lord for his love so full and free. He taught us why that our love like his should be, to be like him and compassion full and free. Oh, bless his name, we think with him could live. I love the Lord, he has been so good to me. He gave his life from sin to set me free. I love the Lord because he first loved
me. This is the season that many people reflect back on the birth of Christ and the ultimate price that he paid from his life was to die on the cross to forgive us of our sins. Now, many people do this. They reflect on it maybe once or twice a year. Yet our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ instructed us, he guided us to remember him each first day of the week. In the upper room, he provided the bread. As he broke it, he said, "Take, eat, this is my flesh." Again, he took the cup, he poured it out, and said, "Take, drink, for this is my blood." As we think upon these emblems, we think about his death and his resurrection. We think about it each first day of the week as we do this, in remembrance of him, not just once or twice a year, but every first day of the week. Let's bow in prayer and thank him for the opportunity to remember him again. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we thank you for the blessing that you gave us, that we are able to remember you in such a way. We thank you for the emblems that you gave us, that you make us focus on you and your wonderful gift to us. As we partake of the bread now, we ask that it's not in vain, but we fully envelop upon your thoughts and your gift. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Just bowing your thanks for the fruit of that. We are so grateful and so humble, Father, for this privilege, this honor that we have to partake this cup, the precious blood of Christ Jesus that was shed on the cross of Calvary. We're grateful and we're humble. We love you so much that you loved us, that you gave your Son on our behalf. It is in Jesus' name we give you all praise, honor, and glory. Amen.
Has everyone had a chance to be served? If not, please hold up your hand now. I see no hands, so we will continue on. We also have the opportunity to give back what we've been blessed with in our life. We have indeed been blessed to the point where our blessings overflow. We have the opportunity now to show the Lord that a portion of what's in our hearts. We also use this money to expand his kingdom, that we may be able to show others the gospel of Jesus Christ, who so desperately need it in their lives. For we have the Word. As we give back, think clearly about the blessings that you have and how we can help others to receive what they need so that they may receive the blessings as well, as you bow in prayer. Father, we thank you for what we have in our life. We thank you that we have been blessed beyond measure. Our cup indeed overflows with your blessings. Father, we thank you that we're able to give back from our hearts, not grudgingly, but with gladness and thanksgiving. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you would, please take your supplemental hymn book and mark the hymn number 10. The supplemental hymn book and mark the hymn number 10. That would be the song of invitation this morning. Hymn number 10 and the supplemental hymn book. After marking that hymn, if you would, please, I'll take our regular hymn books here and turn to hymn number 513. 513. We'll sing the first, second, and fourth verse. I ask all those who could easily stand to please stand. 513. And let us say, standing on the promises of Christ, my King, through eternal ages, let his praises ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God, you know we're standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises that cannot fail, with the howling storm of God and fear of sail. By the living word of God I shall prevail, standing on the promises of God. You know we're standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises I cannot fail, visiting every moment to the Spirit call, resting in my Savior as my all, standing on the promises of God, you know we're standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God. You know we're standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing. Standing.
morning's scripture reading is entitled, Humility Will Take You Higher. I'll be reading from the New King James Version of James chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. That's James chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. My brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. For if there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings and fine apparel, and there should also come in a poor man in filthy clothes, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes and say to him, you sit here in a good place, and you say to the poor man, you stand there or sit here at my footstool. And now, Brother Gilbert Fulton.
Good morning, everyone. It is a delight to see everyone this morning and to be in the Lord's house one more time. Certainly, we thank God for blessing us, giving us health and strength to be able to be here today for this service. And to all of our guests, to our visitors, we say welcome. We're certainly happy you've come our way today, and we hope your visit will be uplifting and rewarding. We're hoping this visit will be so good that you will want to come back and visit with us again. Welcome. It is my prayer that all of us will leave this place this morning better than we arrived. You know, remember, our goal is to always be better. A lot of people spend their time looking at others and fail to look in the mirror at themselves. So what I want to do is to say something that can help all of us as we worship God. You know, someone did tell me on the way out once that I was stepping on their toes. And I told them, my feet are sore too. So I'm not just preaching at people, preaching to all of us. Today's lesson, humility will take you higher. Humility will take you higher. James, the servant of God, the inspired author of this uplifting epistle, the half-brother of Jesus, the letter is brief, and at the same time, brilliant. Sent to the 12 tribes abroad. The letter is powerful, yet practical. The letter is trustworthy and timely. The letter is clear. James offers a word to those who have entered the family of Christianity. James did not dodge the difficult issues. He's motivated by a burning desire to see the perfection and the maturation of faith. So in the Spirit-filled book, James has no way of even letting us think that God is not in control. James believed that the Christian life is characterized by faithful, obedient action. James says, "Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren." Then he said, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Furthermore, he adds in James 1:26, if a man seems to be religious and does not bridle his own tongue, he deceives his own heart. This man's religion is vain. James gets down to business real fast. He doesn't have to pull any punches. He doesn't hold back. He's not afraid of offending anybody. He's a teller of truth. He's a voice of validity. He's a proclaimer of the promises. He's a speaker to the soul. And in doing so, he makes no apologies for telling it like it is. You know, when we consider this inspired work by James, we must conclude that there were some suffering folk in the church. There were some people in the church who had been and who were currently experiencing hard times. So the reality of trials was evident from the beginning when James said, "Count it all joy when you fall in the divers temptation." So just a careful look today at this reading of this letter exposes the vulnerability of many of the saints. Now, friends, undoubtedly there were the widows and the fatherless in affliction. That's in chapter 1, verse 27. But in chapter 2, James describes the poor man who showed up for the assembly. He was described as wearing vile or filthy raiment. He was a man subjected to unfair partiality. He was a man subjected to respect of persons and being told, "Stand away. Stand over there under somebody's footstool." The poor had been despised. Some brothers and sisters were naked and destitute of daily food. The rich had taken advantage of the poor. Laborers who had worked in the fields were taken advantage of. So, James is saying, for them to be humble, humility will take you higher. I want to start by looking at his humble status. His humble status. In James' view, it means something to be a brother or a sister in Christ. This is not just any man. This is a brother. He is a beloved brother. He is a brother deserving of respect, love, deserving of assistance during his time of need. He is a brother that should not be evil spoken of. He is a brother who should not be judged unwisely. This is a brother who should not be grumbled against. He is a brother who should look to the prophets for an example of suffering and affliction and patience. This is a brother who should swear neither by heaven nor by earth. This is a brother who should let his yes be yes and his no be no. This man is a brother in Christ who is subject to erring from the truth, but he is worthy of being won back. This man who is of low degree is not just of low degree. He is our brother who is in trouble. The Bible says he is experiencing some humble circumstances, but he's still our brother. The old song says, "He ain't heavy, he's my brother." The term low degree is from the Greek word dekanos. It literally means to be depressed, humiliated in circumstances, not wise in thought. Many of God's people have experienced being in low degree. So there's no need for us today to come in and act like we've never had financial problems and act like we've always had things the way we wanted it. He's trying to get us to understand that being a Christian does in no way insulate us from being in trouble at times. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, Bible says, was in division daily, mocked by everybody, even put in jail. Israel suffered in Egyptian bondage for 430 years. Now, these are the folk of God, y'all. Old Ruth was humbled as a widow, reduced to gleaning the leftovers in Boaz's lots. Elijah was humbled by evil Ahab and Jezebel while hiding at a brook. David was humbled by the persecution of Saul. Lazarus was humbled in circumstances by begging at the gate of the rich man. My friends, you are not the first ones to have trouble in your life. The lame man was humbled by his lameness. Paul was humbled by thorns in the flesh. Job was humbled by losing everything and everybody that was important to him. The church, my friend, is for everyone, even those who are suffering and struggling. As a matter of fact, we ought to be as ready to share the gospel with those who have not as we are ready to share with those who have. Gospel is for everyone. Let them come. Jesus said, Matthew chapter 26, verse 11, the poor you will have with you always. So there are some people in the church with humble circumstances. Some of us will never be on anybody's VIP list. Some of us will never be named among the who's who of anything. Almost none of us will be named among the rich and the famous. There are people in the church who have no credit, slow credit, bad credit. There are people in Christ with no letters, no positions, and no titles, no letters behind their names. There are many of us listed among the have-nots. Many are social outcasts. But that's the power of the gospel, because we ought to be able to reach out to those who have been cast out and share the gospel with them. When Paul penned this epistle, there were no halfway houses to help people in trouble, no social security benefits, no welfare system, no Medicare, Medicaid. There was no Department of Children and Family Services, no rehab centers, no runaway shelters, no Habitat for Humanity, no Urban League, and no food banks. It was understood that it was up to us, incumbent upon the people of God, to help those in trouble. So if you have had a humbling experience as a child of God, you need to know you are not alone. As much as we try to hide it from people, friend, you are in good company. If you can't shop at Macy's, Lehman Marcus, Saks Fifth Avenue, maybe you can't buy a tailor-made suit or a dress. Maybe your diamonds are more closely related to cubic zirconium. Maybe your pearls are not pearls, but maybe they're plastic. Maybe you cannot live in an exclusive neighborhood. But you know what? All of us have had to deal with humbling circumstances. Maybe your health is weakening. That's a humbling circumstance. When your money is funny and your change is strange, that's a humbling circumstance. When your family won't even talk to you, that's a humbling circumstance. When friends let you down, that's a humbling circumstance. When boyfriend or girlfriend drop you for somebody better looking, that's a humbling circumstance. When your mind wants to, but your body won't, that's a humbling circumstance. James is talking about the brother of low degree. He doesn't have a lot of influence, a lot of power, a lot of prestige. He doesn't know a whole lot. He doesn't have a whole lot. He's the kind of brother who is at risk of slipping through the cracks if we're not careful, because nobody pays any attention to him. He's a brother of low degree. He used to being bullied around and pushed around. He's a brother of low degree. Even the children in the church ignore him. Nobody gives him the respect that's due a brother or sister in Christ. Nobody calls on him. Nobody expects much of him, because he's a brother of low degree. Remember now, all of us will have humbling circumstances. You might be up today. Just keep on waking up. Keep on living. You know, good looks are like flowers that are pulled up from the earth. They look good for a while, but then they fade away. Remember when you used to have a six-pack? Now it's more like a two-liter? Yeah. Things change. So we should know that. But James is saying right here, let the brother of low degree, remember now, this is someone who is suffering from depression, being held down, talked about. James says, let him rejoice. Well, what we have here is this. God does not expect us to use our problems as an excuse That word, rejoice, that's a verb, an action word, in the present tense. It means rejoice now. Not after your status has changed. He is commanded to rejoice right now in the midst of his humbling circumstances. He cannot allow his humbling circumstances to hold or to hinder his rejoicing and making a joyful noise to God. Well, he's able to do this because he understands that things, material possession, status, these things cannot make or break him. This is the person. He's not concerned about his circumstances because he knows that these things can change in a moment. But what about your situation? Because if you are in Christ, your circumstances are secondary. James will go on to say in James 4, verses 4-13, go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we shall go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? Is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this and do that. But now you rejoice in your boasting. All such rejoicing is evil. So this boasting, this rejoicing, is not directed toward inward, but upward. And what we must understand is that no matter what we are going through, we got to know that God is still in control. Absolutely, without a doubt. And so when we are humble, that's an opportunity for us to praise God in the midst of it all. You know, when Job lost everything that he had, Job's wife told him to curse God and die. What did Job say? He said, the Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job knew where God was. He knew that he trusted in God, and God got him that far. Thus he said, Jeremiah, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glorieth glory in this, that he understand and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For these things I delight in, saith the Lord. So the brother of low degree has been the recipient of wisdom. He has no mind of his own to glory in. He trusts in the Lord. He boasts in the Lord. So it's not about what you drive. It's about who's driving you. It's not about what you step out in. It's about what you step out on. It's not about what you wear. It's about whether you are clothed in the glory of God. The Apostle Paul spoke about this in Romans chapter 5, verse 2 and 3. He says, by whom also we have access by faith into that grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We've got hope. Not only so, but we glory in tribulation, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience. We drop down to verse 11. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. So this rejoicing, my friend, is not in our circumstances. This rejoicing, our happy state, is in Christ Jesus our Lord. All right, so yes, we've considered his humble status. Secondly, we looked at his happy state. But my friends, James doesn't stop there. He says in verse number 9, let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. Now, James is telling us why this brother or sister who is in humble circumstances ought to rejoice. It is because that while we suffer, while we struggle, and in the midst of our problems, our tribulations and our trials, he said, we ought to, in the midst of it all, know that we are exalted. We have to understand, brothers and sisters, that we are exalted. So according to man's social order, he's down. But in God's eye, he's up. In man's eye, he's low, but in God's eye, he has been lifted up. His humility has literally taken him higher. His humbling circumstances must have blessed him, because it assisted him in keeping the proper perspective about himself. Some of us get caught up in who we are and what we have, not really remembering that we all came from the dust of the ground. Amen. God has lifted us up, lifted him above the bad circumstances, enabled him to have his private poverty no more. God has allowed him to receive eternal riches. The Lord has removed those clothes that he came in with, that vile raiment, and clothed him in a garment of righteousness. The Lord has picked him up from the floor, given him a footstool of faith. Remember when James said in James chapter 2, verse 5, "Hearken, my beloved brethren, have not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that love him?" So there is something about our humbling circumstances that causes us to be rich in faith. It's not until everything is past due, we're behind on all the bills, that we really start praying. It's not until you gotta miss a few meals to piece of cornbread and some lima beans with some fat back cut up in it. So mighty good. I'm talking about humbling circumstances, right? We appreciate things more. Humbling circumstances. So James is saying, we don't have anyone to depend on but God. When you don't have any friends, when you don't have any power and prestige and influence, when you don't have any money, when you don't have anything but love and faith in the Lord Almighty, we're not laboring for a reward on this side. We're laboring for a reward on the other side. Our treasure is not down here. We are heirs of the kingdom of God. We're looking for that crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. You know, when you study the book of James, you see that James must have had some knowledge of the Lord's teachings, because he doesn't say anything that's different from what the Lord had been teaching when he was here. He emphasized different things that about humility that we all need to know. He says the greatest is not the one on top. The greatest is not the one with the most money in the bank. The greatest is not the one with the most degrees. The greatest is not the one with the titles and all the letters behind the name. The greatest is not the one being served. The greatest is the servant. The quickest way to a downfall is to exalt yourself above somebody else. But if you humble yourself, the Lord will exalt you. He gives grace. The Lord gives grace to those who draw nigh unto him. He gives grace to sinners who cleanse their hands. He gives grace to the double-minded who purify their hearts. We have to understand how important it is for us to humble ourselves, because God will be the one who will lift us up. He told the brother of low degree, "Rejoice in that he is right now in the midst of all of his problems being exalted." We've got to remember that. You might think it's bad now, but you know, it could be worse. My grandmother used to say, "Son, if you think it's bad now, you just wait a few minutes. You'll see. Never forget her talking to me like that. Things change. We've got to remember that God loves us above everybody else. We've all been in trouble, but didn't God bring us a mighty long way? We can understand that you might have always had all you want. You might be from the upper echelons, but you got to remember, all that can change in a heartbeat. The brother of low degree remembers that he has more than he could ever deserve. He is poor in finances, but he's rich in faith. Poor in money, but he's rich in mercy. Brother of low degree knows that God can turn any situation around. God can take him from being a beggar to being a giver. Take him from being a borrower to being a lender. He can take him from hand-me-down to tailor-made. God can take him from the end of the line and put him at the head of the line. He knows God can take him from receiving assistance to giving assistance. He did it with Joseph. He did it with Job. He did it with David. He did it with the three Hebrew boys. Oh, I'm telling you, God is wonderful. Brother of low degree will serve God with meager resources. He will hold on to God's unchanging hand. He will sing with the spirit and understanding. He will count it all joy when he falls into diverse temptation. You know, brother of low degree has been through a lot. He's not a fair weather Christian trying to serve a full-time God. Our God is not like those other gods. He's not like Buddha. You know, Buddha's got eyes, but he cannot see. Buddha's got ears, but he cannot hear you when you pray. Buddha's got hands, but he cannot reach out to help you. Buddha's got feet, but he cannot run to your assistance. But I thank God that when I study Christ, see the suffering of Jesus, I know that our God is alive. Why? Because he stepped, stopped, stooped, stood, staggered, and he stayed. He stepped out on eternity, stopped at the intersection of time. He stooped to be born in a manger. He stood before the halls of Pilate. He staggered up Golgotha's hill, but thank God he stayed on the cross. Our God is alive. He is alive. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. Humility will take you higher. Well, this morning you've heard his word. I hope you will believe it with all of your heart, repent of your sins, confess Christ to be the Son of God, accept him in baptism. That's how you get into the body of Christ, if you're already a member. But have strayed away, been unfaithful, done things you know you shouldn't have done, why don't you come back? Why don't you come back to the body today? And so, while truth, love, and mercy linger, make a choice for Jesus while together we stand and sing.
So hold us, Savior, thou art me. So hold us, Savior, pray for me. It is worth
Low degree, humility will take you higher. A very, very good sermon, good reminder from our brother Baldwin this morning. On behalf of the congregation, once again, we just want to welcome anybody that we have in attendance with us visiting this morning. I don't believe that we had received any cards, but looking out, we may have one or two with us this morning, and we're very, very happy that you could come out and worship the Lord with us. And as Brother Baldwin mentioned in his sermon, of course, we hope that you had a good visit and that you'll be back with us here again. And we're happy that you came out with us this morning. I just have a couple of reminders I'll mention again. Once again, for all of our ladies, that ornament exchange is upcoming December the 10th at noon. That's at Sister Sizemore's home, and again, please sign that sheet in the foyer for the ladies that will be attending that ornament exchange. Also, don't forget, if you're missing a winter hat here or a little Bible, I don't see any name in it, but those were two items that were found, so if you're missing either of those, that might be what we have here. And then finally, too, let's be sure for everybody to pick up one of those December ministering and worship sheets. I want to make sure that we're all aware of when we're asked to serve. And again, for those men, we're asked after class dismisses on Sunday mornings to go back to the room here adjacent to the auditorium like we used to. That way we'll know who's here and can help serve. I don't believe that there's any other announcements this morning. Our brother Hopkins Jr. is going to lead us in our closing prayer. So just that final note on sick list, brothers and sisters. We got a lot of folks that's in need of prayer, a lot of people that we mentioned, a lot of people listed in the sick and prayer list. So let's be sure, brothers and sisters, that we remember to take a look at everybody listed there, and let's keep on praying for them.
Shall we pray? Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we're so thankful unto you, Heavenly Father, for waking us from our beds this morning, Heavenly Father. For we know we are not promised tomorrow, Heavenly Father. So we're so appreciative of another day of life, Heavenly Father, for the opportunity to come together, worship service unto you, to fellowship with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, Heavenly Father. So thankful for the lesson that was brought to us this morning by our brother Gilbert Baldwin, Heavenly Father. Thankful for the time and effort that he put in preparing this lesson. Pray that which he has shared with us today, that we can apply to our daily lives, Heavenly Father, that we can continue to follow the right Christian example, Heavenly Father, as we begin this week, that we will always know, Heavenly Father, that you are always by our side, Heavenly Father, that you will help us to deal with any situation that we may face, Heavenly Father, that we can always come to you, Heavenly Father, with this avenue of prayer. You can help us to overcome any problems that we may face, Heavenly Father. We just pray, Heavenly Father, also that you continue to be with those that was mentioned sick, be with those that may be traveling, Heavenly Father. You continue to watch over us as we begin this new week and as we return to our destinations and to the next appointed time that we shall meet. For these things we ask for in thy Son Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Current six. so long.
Thank you.
Can't punch this one. You don't deserve it. Give her.
Okay.
Thank you.